It may come as a surprise to some of you that I was an extremely shy child. Extremely shy. When we were younger, my brothers and I would visit my mother's office in downtown Chicago, and as we would walk around saying hello to her coworkers, I would hide behind her legs, afraid to be seen or to talk to anyone. And when I was a bit older, friends would call our house on the phone, and I was so shy I would refuse to answer the telephone. Well, I've changed quite a bit since then, but the same underlying fear still presents itself at times. The fear of being totally and completely seen. The fear of being totally and completely known. Brené Brown is a researcher and professor of social work who has become a leading expert on vulnerability, courage, and shame. In 2010, she appeared before an audience of 500 people in Houston, Texas, and delivered a talk entitled "The Power of Vulnerability." Have any of you seen that talk? Some of you, yeah. And the talk was video recorded and put on the web, and now that video and her talk has been seen close to 7 million times. 7 million. Who would have thought that vulnerability would be such a popular topic? Brown's years of research led her to this overarching claim. Vulnerability is at the core of wholehearted living. The wholehearted, as Brown describes them, are those who live with a sense of worthiness and who know love and belonging. Although Brown's research is done within a secular context, I believe that it is precisely this, wholehearted living, that is our primary religious and spiritual endeavor. And actually, I wasn't all too surprised to learn that Brown herself is a religious person. And her description for these people who she found in her research who live from this place of love and belonging, this phrase, wholehearted, comes from a line in a prayer said every Sunday in the Episcopal church services that she attends. Wholehearted living is a spiritual endeavor that leads us to connection, and vulnerability is at the core. As an academic researcher, Brown has a particular definition of vulnerability, one that I believe is helpful for us as spiritual seekers. Brown describes vulnerability as uncertainty, risk, and emotional exposure. In her research, when she asked people to finish the sentence, "Vulnerability is," these were some of the responses. Asking for help, falling in love, admitting I'm afraid, helping my 37-year-old wife with stage 4 breast cancer make decisions about her will, reaching out to my son who is going through a difficult divorce, getting fired, laying off employees, trying something new. And in her poem, Anne Sexton provides these examples of vulnerability. The child's first step, as awesome as an earthquake. The first time you rode a bike wallowing up the sidewalk, enduring a great despair, facing old age and its natural conclusion. What these examples show us is that to live is to be vulnerable. Vulnerability is right there in the ordinariness of life. Often, vulnerability is equated with weakness, but it is far from it. In fact, we often admire vulnerability in others. The way we see others being honest and authentic, we name it as courage in others, but as a sign of inadequacy or weakness in ourselves. Yes, it is uncomfortable, and it can lead us into difficult conversations that we may not rather have. Some of you here may end up taking a course being offered at USG called Having Your Voice to the End of Your Life. Most of the class focuses on having discussions about one's end-of-life decisions, decisions about the medical treatment you may or may not want at the time of your death. And I can hardly imagine conversations that require more vulnerability than these. Uncomfortable, yes, but weakness, no. For many, many years, people of this congregation have engaged with each other in discussions about racism, oppression, and multiculturalism. Just last week, we had a town hall meeting where we focused in on these issues, and I will dare say that if there isn't a bit of discomfort in those conversations, then we aren't being vulnerable enough. Because when issues of privilege and marginalization come up, shame inevitably surfaces. And we want to run as far and fast away from that as we can. Vulnerability is uncomfortable and risky, for sure. And because of this, it also necessitates being in relationships of trust and respect. We try to cultivate those here at USG, and I hope that you all feel that you have people in your lives with whom you feel safe, being seen and being known. And if vulnerability is not weakness, it is also not being unsafe. I want to be clear that in no way am I advocating for any of us to make ourselves vulnerable to unsafe situations, physical or emotional harm or abuse. Protecting ourselves from those who might harm us in those ways is absolutely necessary. I am, however, suggesting that we see the entirety of our lives as a precious journey of vulnerability. No matter our age, our race, our economic situation, we are all on this journey. And we can practice the art of living vulnerably and courageously with greater intention and thoughtfulness. One of the reasons that I think Brené Brown's video and now follow-up book is so popular is that embracing vulnerability is a provocative countercultural message. It is far more common practice to push away vulnerability than it is to invite it into our lives. And the broader culture in which we live tells us that vulnerability is not something to strive for. In fact, we should avoid it at all costs. And in the movie Up in the Air, George Clooney plays the role of Ryan Bingham, a successful business executive whose primary role can be described as hire for fire. He crisscrosses the country by plane, living out of hotel rooms, and he shows up at various companies and orchestrates massive layoffs. He meets one by one with dozens of people at any given company to inform them that they've been let go. And in the movie, his boss hires a young woman, a recent college graduate named Natalie Keener, who comes up with a way to cut costs and to revolutionize their line of work using technology. In one poignant scene, Ryan and Natalie arrive in Detroit. They enter the conference room of the company, which will serve as their home base for the day, and sitting on the table is a computer screen. And on the screen is their boss, sitting at his desk in Omaha, Nebraska. He informs Natalie that she's going to take the reins to test out her revolutionary new technology. And all of a sudden, appearing before her on the screen is an image of a middle-aged man sitting at a desk looking quite bewildered. She calls his name to get his attention and mechanically begins the script. She informs him that his position is no longer available. And he raises his voice in anger, and they realize that he is but 10 feet away on the other side of the wall, directly in front of them. And he begins to sob, and he looks completely distraught. And Natalie has to say his name several times before he finally gets up to leave. And looking a little bit shaken themselves, Natalie and Ryan watch as he walks past the room that they've been sitting in that whole time. Sadly, this movie scene is all too realistic. It depicts our cultural aversion to opening up ourselves emotionally. It depicts our desire to control and predict. As the movie shows, this particular tactic is especially common with large companies, but we are not immune to these vulnerability avoidance tactics ourselves. Have you ever made an offhanded and hurtful remark and then simply pretended that it didn't have an effect on the person you made it to? Or have you ever focused on performing so well at your job or on an exam to minimize failure? Do you plan your day, your week, your month, your year to eliminate uncertainty about the future? Or have you ever gone shopping as a balm for receiving some bit of disappointing news? I admit I have done all of these. Pretending, perfecting, making the uncertain certain, numbing. All of these are strategies meant to push away uncertainty, risk, and emotional exposure. Another reason that I think Brown's talk has become so popular is that we are waking up to an unwillingness to live from a place of fear. Many of us are drawn to communities like this one here at the Unitarian Society of Germantown because we know that a fuller life is possible. A life not based in notions of scarcity, unworthiness, or fear, but in gratitude, wholeness, and courage. It is right here in our religious community that we can practice this way of being together. One of the most powerful points that I think Brown makes in her work is that we cannot selectively numb our emotions if we are trying to shield ourselves from fear, from shame, grief, sadness, disappointment. We also cut ourselves off from the possibilities to experience love, belonging, and joy. Because while vulnerability can expose us to the negativity of fear and disappointment, it is also the birthplace of connection and joy. One of the greatest examples of this in my own life has been my search for religious community. Many of you know that I was raised Roman Catholic, and I stopped identifying with that tradition somewhere in college, but I knew that I still had a longing to be in some kind of religious community, and I spent a number of years searching and going to different church services. And each time that I showed up to a new and different church on the steps of those doors was a moment of vulnerability, of uncertainty, risk, and emotional exposure. Not knowing whether I would feel like I belonged there or whether I'd find the kind of spiritual wholeness I was looking for. And my journey today even today, right now, as a Unitarian Universalist, still feels fraught with uncertainty. With the questions, can I be all of who I am here? Can I be fully seen and known here? One of my most vulnerable moments as a Unitarian Universalist happened this past summer at our denominational Justice General Assembly in Phoenix, Arizona. The week-long General Assembly closed with an action of witness at Tent City, an outdoor prison in the city known for its inhumane conditions. And I had to catch a flight that evening, so I was really disappointed that I wouldn't be able to attend this event. But they had set up a room at the convention center where those of us who couldn't go to Tent City could gather and hold a space of our own to witness. And the week had been one of those rare moments when I felt like I had actually found my way in this spiritual seeking. In this room, we mostly sang together. And as we sang, I felt as if each person was somehow peering right into me, right into my soul. And with tears streaming down my face, I joined my voice with others. Oh, we give thanks for this precious day, for all gathered here, and those far away, for this time we share with love and care. Oh, we give thanks for this precious day. Gratitude, joy, hope. This is vulnerability. Attending to it takes courage. The courage to tell the story of who you are with the whole of your heart. To admit what we dream for and what we need. To risk failure, to sit with discomfort. The courage to just show up, to be fully engaged in the living of our lives. Brené Brown says that when she realized that vulnerability was at the core of wholehearted living, she was in for a fight. Vulnerability pushed, she said. I pushed back. I lost the fight, but probably won my life back. May we grab a hold of life with courageous vulnerability and live it with the whole of our hearts.